You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her class, and after explaining the commandments to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, "You think there's a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one little boy, who was the oldest in his family, answered, "Thou shalt not kill." Alrighty then, that's probably a pretty solid interpretation. But here's our problem. A survey by Kelton Research found that more Americans know the contents of a Big Mac than know the contents of the Ten Commandments. Back when Stephen Colbert was on Comedy Central, he interviewed a representative who was sponsoring a bill requiring the display of the Ten Commandments, and when pressed, you guessed it, the representative could only name three of the commandments. Whoops. Now, to be fair, even Jesus only named a few in Matthew. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and honor your father and your mother. And let's be frank, these are commandments that any secular humanist could buy into. Nothing about worshiping God, making graven images, honoring the Sabbath, or taking the Lord's name in vain. Nothing, in fact, at all about God. So, even though the politician could only name three, and Jesus could only name five, you could name them all, right? Not going to put you on the spot here, but I'm guessing that most of us would have a hard time naming all ten. And maybe that's why some people, mostly pious evangelicals in their ilk, continue to make a huge fuss about how critical they think the Ten Commandments are to saving our culture and making everything right with the world. But whatever you think of them, and the new wave of efforts to put them up in public spaces, we need to be honest. The Ten Commandments have got a lot of problems, not the least of which is many of them being incompatible with American values. But before we go there, let's go back for some context and get a feel for what we're dealing with. Joining our story already in progress, the Hebrews have escaped from Egypt and arrive at Mount Sinai. They take a breather there, and after a while, they kind of look around and ask, "Now what?" In Exodus 19:8, before Yahweh says anything about commandments, the Israelites say, "Whatever you command, we will listen to and obey." No, seriously, whatever you want, because whatever you say has got to be better than Pharaoh. Okay, so what they get is the Ten Commandments. Most of them are pretty obvious guidelines for living in community. Don't steal, don't lie, don't kill. But most of them come infused with very particular assumptions, many of which don't necessarily line up with modern standards.
Our words of wisdom are Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through to 21.
Then God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.
You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments.
You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it.
Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die."
Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Hooray! Yet another Christian nationalist effort to strangle American values has gone out with a whimper. This time, it was a Texas Senate bill that, if passed, would have required the Ten Commandments to be displayed prominently in every classroom in the state. Once again, conservative legislators, egged on by their frenzied evangelical base, tried to impose that which they don't understand onto those they don't consider worthy of having a say in the matter. A key witness in the hearings, Christian nationalist David Barton, argued that displaying the Ten Commandments would return morality to Texas classrooms. Like a poster will remind the third graders to stop with all that murder and adultery they're committing. And it's not the first time that pious politicians have thought such idolatry would whip some values into them. In the afterglow of World War II, a juvenile court judge in Minnesota asked a youngster he was passing sentence on if he knew that he'd broken the Ten Commandments. The kid said he didn't even know what they were. Shocked at such ignorance, the judge set out to put the commandments up in courtrooms throughout Minnesota to show these youngsters that there were such recognized codes of behavior to guide and help them. Now, as a member of the Fraternal Order of Eagles, the judge sought funding for an expanded project that included Ten Commandments plaques in every juvenile court in the country. However, before he was able to leverage support from the Eagles, the immutable sacred text burned into the stone by the very fiery finger of God would need to be, judged. Since the Jewish, Catholic, and Protestant traditions differ in numbering and interpretation of the commandments, depending on whether you use the text from Exodus or Deuteronomy, among other things, a version was developed that was just vague enough to be deemed non-sectarian. But even gauzy non-sectarian allusions to God were better than none, right? After all, this was the middle of the Cold War. Putting up plaques honoring God would really stick it to those godless communists in the USSR. Remember, this was about the same time that Congress voted to put "In God We Trust" on our money and add "Under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance. It wasn't some sudden spiritual awakening, but your typical and still run-of-the-mill anti-communist political posturing. Now, about that same time, Cecil B. DeMille was making a little movie. You might have seen it. It's called The Ten Commandments. And in the Fraternal Order of Eagles' fledgling effort to spread biblical holiness through wall plaques, the movie mogul saw a unique opportunity. Accounts differ as to just how involved DeMille really was with hatching what became an ingenious publicity scheme. But in partnership with the Fraternal Order of Eagles, the simple plaques envisioned by the Eagles themselves got the full DeMille treatment, being transformed into substantial granite monuments. What could possibly be wrong with exploiting the Bible and people's irrational veneration of selected passages in order to hype a Hollywood epic? In the initial campaign, coordinated with the release of the movie, well over 100 Ten Commandment monuments were placed throughout the country. Turns out it was so popular that even the Pharaoh himself, aka Yul Brynner, participated in the unveiling of at least one slab in Milwaukee. Now, according to some counts, the Eagles placed as many as 4,000 Ten Commandments monuments around the country. That's 80 per state. Now, I snapped a picture of this Eagle-funded tablet on the grounds of the public library when I was passing through Yuma last summer. And once you know to look, you see them everywhere. So take those, then add churches, homes, and the ubiquitous mobile device to that count, and you'd think that people who really need a commandments fix would be all set. Unless it's not really about the commandments at all. What if it's more about imposing a superficial symbol of the culturally dominant belief system on the minorities in a country? You know, just like Jesus taught. Maybe if the folks who are so worked up over the Ten Commandments were actually familiar with them, they'd be less enthusiastic about defending them. In the 2015 Ten Commandments dust-up in Oklahoma, a local pastor representing the Christian Ministry Alliance said that the commandments are the voice of morality and the thread of the fabric that has held many nations together. But not our nation. Many of the values embraced and enshrined by the Ten Commandments have actually been rejected by the United States as immoral or inconvenient. It doesn't take much of a close read to realize that the commandments don't just tolerate slavery, they endorse the practice as the status quo. The commandments also assume that women are chattel property. And if one takes into consideration that the commandments are specifically directed at men, remember, women don't count, the charge to not commit adultery doesn't apply to women. Whoops. And what about that fuzzy sixth commandment? Scholars disagree. Is it "thou shalt not kill" or is it "thou shalt not murder"? Those are kind of not the same. And just to be clear, neither the United States or God follows either interpretation. But hang on a second, someone might exclaim. The Ten Commandments are enshrined on the facade of the Supreme Court. No. Moses and the Ten Commandments do indeed appear in a frieze adorning the Supreme Court, but he's in the company of more than a dozen other great lawgivers of history, including Muhammad, Confucius, Hammurabi, Solomon, Draco, Caesar Augustus, and even Napoleon. Not only that, but Moses is in procession, dutifully following behind the Pharaoh Menes and the Babylonian Hammurabi. Now, if the Ten Commandments were truly the primary basis of American law, as some claim, then why is Moses merely one of many lawgivers? A clear suggestion that American law is in fact a fusion of Greek, Mesopotamian, and many other historical and philosophical influences. Reverend Barry Lynn, longtime head of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, said that there's a widespread myth that there's some kind of religious promotion of the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court when they're simply an art element in a presentation of the history of law. Some will point to the tablet emblazoned with the Roman numerals I through X, situated between the graven images of the majesty of the law and the majesty of government, as clear reference to the Ten Commandments. But alas, the sculptor himself made it clear that they referred to the Ten Amendments of the Bill of Rights, and not, in fact, the Ten Commandments. Ironically, arguments over the placement of Ten Commandment monuments, posters, or the primacy of Moses at the Supreme Court all fall afoul of the first and or second commandment, depending on how you number the commandments. Because as a focus of zealous reverence and worship, Moses and the Ten Commandments can themselves become the very idols that the commandments warn against, turning pious evangelicals and legislators into what the Bible calls brazen idol worshipers. Now, look, far from being a simple set of rules to follow that will make all things right with the world, the Ten Commandments are the product of an archaic cultural setting separated from the American experience by thousands of years. They need study. They need interpretation. And that is the purview of our religious institutions, not our public spaces. And because the United States is in a period of rapid transformation, the inevitability of America's diverse and pluralistic future is crashing down around the ears of those who are desperately trying to keep reality at bay. And here's one of the truths that evangelicals, fundamentalists, and their legislative cronies are in a panic about. One of the most distinctive and exemplary characteristics setting the United States apart from other nations is its religious diversity. From the very beginning, Thomas Jefferson acknowledged that we weren't a Christian nation. One of the quotes you don't hear referenced by those who claim America is a Christian nation is Jefferson's rant that Christianity is the most perverted system that ever shone on man. Jefferson was instrumental in establishing the principle we now know as the separation of church and state, precisely to keep any one faith from imposing itself on everyone else. The framers even went so far as to make the very first commandment, amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Theologian Paul Brandeis Rauschenbusch points out that this establishment clause was specifically created so that there would be no one way to be religious or not religious in America. On the campaign trail in 2016, fellow United Methodist Hillary Clinton was questioned about how her religious beliefs align with the Ten Commandments. Without hesitation, she expressed her disappointment with conventional Christians who showed harsh judgment of those neighbors who had different experiences and beliefs, rather than showing a loving respect for all. Being respectful of people who've had different life experiences is part of my faith, she said. So, sorry, conservative Christians, in-your-face displays of the Ten Commandments forced into public spaces are nothing more than theological bullying. You're going to have to learn to get along with others without trying to impose your beliefs on them. And don't forget, there's a word for people who think religious freedom means having permission to intimidate one's fellow citizens and impose one particular religion on everyone else. And that word is un-American. So, here's to being respectful of people who've had different life experiences than we've had, and who we're fortunate to have as neighbors in a country where all are welcome to be religious or not, without being intimidated by holier-than-thou bullies. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.